Here's Living with a Genius for March 29th, 2018. It's the birthday of one of my favorite painters, Francisco José de Goya y Lucientis, known simply as Goya, born in 1746 in Fuendetodos, Spain. Goya had a relatively plain, lower middle class childhood. His education seemed to have been adequate, but not enlightening. He had a basic understanding of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and some knowledge of the classics. According to art critic Robert Hughes, Goya seems to have taken no more interest than a carpenter in philosophical or theological matters, and his views on painting were very down-to-earth. Goya was no theoretician. In 1766, at the age of 20, Goya moved to Rome, having studied painting under two Spanish masters and after twice applying unsuccessfully to the Royal Academy of Fine Arts. He was unknown at the time, so the records are few and uncertain. Early biographers have him traveling to Rome with a gang of bullfighters, where he worked as a street acrobat, or for a Russian diplomat, or fell in love with a beautiful young nun whom he plotted to abduct from her convent. Later that year, he returned to Zaragoza, Spain, and painted parts of the cupolas of the Basilica and the frescoes of the Sobradiel Palace. He studied with the Aragonese artist Francisco Subias, and his painting began to show signs of the delicate tonalities for which he became famous. He befriended Francisco Bayou and married Bayou's sister 2 years later in 1773. Tragically, their life together was defined by an almost constant series of pregnancies and miscarriages, with only one child, Javier, surviving into adulthood. In 1786, Goya became a court painter to the Spanish crown, and in 1789 was appointed court painter to the Bourbon king, Charles IV, and family. He painted both the king and the queen, royal family pictures, a portrait of the Spanish prime minister, and many other nobles. The portraits are notable for their disinclination to flatter, and in the case of Charles IV of Spain and his family, perhaps his most famous royal painting, the lack of visual diplomacy is remarkable. Modern interpreters view the portrait as satirical. It is thought to reveal the corruption behind the rule of Charles IV. Under his reign, his wife Louisa was thought to have had the real power, and thus Goya placed her at the center of the group portrait. From the back left of the painting, one can see the artist himself looking out at the viewer, and the painting behind the family depicts Lot and his granddaughters, thus once again echoing the underlying message of corruption and decay. At some time between late 1792 and early 1793, an undiagnosed illness left Goya completely deaf. He became withdrawn and introspective, while the direction and tone of his work changed. Goya published a series of 80 aqua-tinted etchings, the Caprichos, depicting what he described as the innumerable foibles and follies to be found in any civilized society, and from the common prejudices and deceitful practices which custom, ignorance, or self-interest have made usual. The visions in these prints are partly explained by the caption, "The sleep of reason produces monsters." Weeks after the French declaration of war on Spain, Goya's physical and mental breakdown worsened. A contemporary reported, "The noises in his head and deafness aren't improving, yet his vision is much better, and he is back in control of his balance." These symptoms may indicate viral encephalitis or paranoid dementia, possibly due to an unknown brain trauma, as evidenced by marked changes in his work after his recovery. Increasingly, paranoid features are observed in his post-illness paintings, culminating in the black paintings, of which Saturn devouring his sons is best known, and my personal favorite. It's a terrible story, the story of Saturn, the god of time, who it was foretold would be dethroned by one of his own sons. Rendered in the most horrific way, the wide-eyed, frenzied terror in the god Saturn's face as he gnaws the headless body of his son is every bit as terrifying now as it was when I first saw it at the age of 10. But now, as an adult, it's easy to put together Goya's deeply personal reason for this and the rest of his later black paintings, as they're called. Much has been written about it already. Goya had seen the Spanish monarchy destroy the country, and in 1808, Napoleon's army, and then the restoration of the monarchy, who would ravage Spain once more. The tale of Saturn is the perfect allegory for Goya, the cyclical nature of time, our need to control it, and the brutality of power used to control it, but ultimately in vain. With Ferdinand VII now in power, Goya kept his position in the Spanish court despite having worked for Joseph Bonaparte. Ferdinand reportedly once told Goya that, "You deserve to be garroted, but you are a great artist, so we forgive you." Others in Spain were not so lucky, as the king sought to crack down on liberals who sought to make the country a constitutional state. It's widely assumed that Goya felt alienated from the social and political trends that followed the 1814 restoration of the Bourbon monarchy, and that he viewed these developments as a reactionary means of social control. In his unpublished art, he seems to have rallied against what he saw as a tactical retreat into medievalism. It is thought that he had hoped for political and religious reform, but like many liberals, became disillusioned when the restored Bourbon monarchy and Catholic hierarchy rejected the Spanish Constitution of 1812. By 1824, the political climate became so tense that Goya willingly went into exile. In poor mental and physical health, Goya moved to Bordeaux, France, where he spent the remainder of his life. During his lifetime, he continued to paint. Some of his later works included portraits of friends, also living in exile. "I have had three masters," Goya once said, "nature, Velázquez, and Rembrandt." Goya died on April 16th of 1828 in Bordeaux. He was 82 years old. Thanks for listening. Be kind, do good work, and until next time.